Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to preach today. Just so you know, I'm also preaching at the at St. James when we do a baptism. A little later today, Susan Wright's grandson, Addison, is being baptized. So this preaching is part and parcel with all the excitement today of the St. James community. Did you ever have one of those weeks? When I say one of those weeks, you probably all nodded in agreement, though for completely different reasons. Some people might picture the week they had a wonderful vacation. Some people envision that work week where every project blew up and went poorly. Still others had the week where the kids got sick, the storm knocked out your power for 4 days, the dog died, and you were in a walking cast the whole time. Then there is the week that you accomplished big things. You look back and you wonder how you bought a new house, changed jobs, volunteered at church, cooked for your elderly neighbor, planted a garden, got married, and invented the light bulb all in the same week. You look back and wonder how you managed it. Maybe our baptismal candidate, Addison, and his family are having one of those big weeks. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus is definitely having one of those weeks. Even though we're in September now, this gospel finds Jesus 2 days into Holy Week. Palm Sunday is behind him, and Easter Sunday is just ahead. Sometimes Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week zip by me without me thinking about them very much. But Matthew shows that they're very busy days for Jesus. He's got to cleanse the temple of vendors, heal the sick and infirmed, preach to the masses, and all along the way, he has more and more intense interactions with the authorities. The Pharisees and the Sadducees try to trick him and entrap him, but he has none of it, and he turns the tables on them. Jesus makes it clear that they are the problem, and he is the solution. Even the tax collectors and the prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God before the authorities. The authorities were too invested in their own worldview to see what John and Jesus were all about. Jesus challenged nearly every facet of their identity and what they knew to be so. The authorities were men of the law, but maybe in word only. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus says that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I am sure that is not how the Pharisees wanted to see the law fulfilled. I have come to feel sorry for these folks who could not see past how they were raised. Honestly, I do not know if I would have done anything too different than them if I were them. Would we know Jesus if he were here today? Maybe he looks like Addison, our baptismal candidate. Maybe Jesus looks like a teenage girl somewhere in Pakistan. Whether I like to admit it or not, I am pretty invested in my own worldview. And if somebody challenged all of that, well, turmoil was likely to follow. Matthew's gospel is often considered to be the gospel most focused on the Jewish audience of the day and compelled Jews to see how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. This evening, modern Jews observe their highest holiday, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is known as the Day of Atonement and of Cleansing. Maybe it is more than a coincidence that we are celebrating a baptism today. Today is the highest holiday of Addison's life so far. Baptism is literally and symbolically not only cleansing, but also dying and rising again with Jesus. I know, strong stuff, right? Well, Addison, the good news is that you don't have to go it alone. We are all excited to welcome you to our community and to be part of your team as you learn and grow. It won't be long before we are learning things from you. And here is what you can look forward to. And this is my visual aid. I like to draw parallels between learning the ways of Christ and balancing a yardstick, or riding a bike if you'd like. We all have things that we have learned so innately that we can't unlearn them, we can't undo them. After practice and many failures, I got it, now I can't not balance it. Same with driving a car. So you might as well practice loving so that you know no other way. Addison, our community, and especially your family, will help you practice being a Christian, with the goal of it eventually being effortless, ingrained, innate, and inseparable from who you are. We will try to remember our drops and shortcomings when you have your drops, and we will try to remember our gracefulness when you are graceful. I'm a big fan of parables. I like viewing things from a different angle or perspective. The message is not always clear, and I often wonder, who am I in this story? As Fred pointed out last week, sometimes a parable can seem so straightforward that we skim over it as old news. Yeah, 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 faith like a mustard seed, lost sheep, last shall be first, good Samaritan. It's like old TV theme songs that sometimes we hear them without really listening. In today's parable, a father requests two sons to work in the vineyard. The first says yes, then doesn't go. The second says no, but then he does go. Maybe we tune out a little after we think successfully that we successfully guessed that the second son, the one who goes, did the will of the father, content that we have passed Jesus's quiz. Well, even the authorities provided that answer. That is where the real work starts. Jesus cuts right to the chase. The Pharisees' words, with no actions or belief behind them, clearly make them son number one. And the outcasts of society who show up to work at the vineyard and believe are son number two. Jesus even throws in the expression, truly I tell you, which usually means, hey, pay attention, this is important. Jesus calls out the authorities there in public. They are all talk and no action, or as some folks say today, they're all hat and no cattle. They are fake, they are pretenders. So I ask myself, which son am I? Which son was I yesterday? The answer seems less black and white. Sometimes I think I'm son like one and a half. Maybe I showed up at the vineyard for a little while, but I didn't really give it my best effort. I got there early, but I left before lunch. I picked some grapes, but I didn't carry the heavy baskets. Maybe I will do better tomorrow when I have more time or I'm a little less tired. I am working on saying, I will go, and then going. I like a certain level of control in my life, but going to the vineyard means dealing with whatever tasks are required, regardless of my expectations. I have a friend from college who is a doctor. When there is a disaster somewhere in the world, he takes time off and he goes there. There's an earthquake, he goes there. Ebola, he goes there. He does not always know what he's getting into, but he commits to going and he goes. I said, yes, I will be part of the lay preaching class, not knowing what to expect other than I would be uncomfortable. Say yes, go to the vineyard. Who will we be? Which son will we be today? You know that the Father asks the same question every day? The same question every day. Will you work in my vineyard? You may be wondering, when is the next time you get the chance to have your words and your deeds mashed up? You're in luck. You only have to wait a few minutes or maybe an hour or two. Yes, indeed, a baptism is an awesome way to say yes. Of course, parents and godparents will have lots of questions to answer. But for the rest of us, our big question today will be, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ? Friends, it is important to go to the vineyard on this one. Every baptism is a reminder of previous baptisms and the commitment each of us makes as individuals, but also as a community. Our response of, we will, is not just ornamentation on a beautiful ceremony, but our promise to go to the vineyard. Addison, you're a lightning rod for our best intentions. We commit not knowing the specifics. Some of our roles are more obvious, like Sunday school teachers, confirmation mentors, usher trainers, but others will have roles that are just as important, role models in kindness and service. Like the yardstick, we will help you find your balance as a Christian so it comes naturally. One of my favorite lines of the service occurs during a version of the post-communion prayer. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. This line makes me think that maybe the vineyard owner from the parable had a third child. And I imagine that last son or daughter jumping up and down with their hand raised saying, pick me, send me to the vineyard. Give me something to do. That is often how I feel during that prayer. Addison, it is your big day today and is our big day too. We're about to answer to the Father. Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ? So, answer from your heart and live your word.